Welcome. Welcome. My name is Steve, and I'm just so grateful that you're here. One of my greatest prayers for our church is this, that we reflect the heart of God and of someone who follows Jesus. As you may or may not know, one of our components of our mission statement is to follow Jesus together. And so I would love for us to grow in our passion for our worship of God. I am just specifically talking about a slice of worship, and that slice is that specific one that is right here, right now, when we meet and get together. It's not our life is a worship to God. Our life is a constant worship of something, but I'm talking about this slice right here. So I want to just talk to you about how what I really feels a big burden on my heart about something that just is so important. How we can improve, we're not there yet, Tommy, you're getting ahead of us. Thank you. Sorry about that. It's going to distract them a little bit. I believe that one of the ways in our church that we can grow in our worship is how we express our worship while we're here. I think that God loves that, and he finds his way into that meeting place when we're gathering together. In fact, John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus said this, and he was talking to the Samaritan woman, and he said this, "Yet a time is coming, and it's now come, when the true worshipers, not just passerbys, not just spectators, but true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks." They're the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. So if the Father is seeking true worshipers, and he's seeking those worshipers, and we wish to be that kind of worshiper, then we need to understand what that means to become those kind of true worshipers that worship in spirit and in truth. Notice that God was not asking or looking for public speakers. He wasn't looking for charismatic leaders in this passage of Scripture. He wasn't looking for those who were best gifted at hospitality, even though we might like all of those things, or administration, or the best style, the best Instagram. None of that was on there, but God said that he was looking for and seeking true worshipers who love him, love him. We spend about 20 minutes here engaging, and we express worship in song and in prayer, and the whole hour we consider worship. But in that time where you have this intimate connection collectively together with God. And so some of us, we come in and we come and we're not really sure what we should do, so we watch. We watch the band. I mean, that's just what we do. And we're not engaging. We're not even necessarily engaging with the words of the song, because we're just there. Some of us walk in, we're a little late. So we're not in a mindset of worship. We're in a mindset of, it's about me. It's about my time. We can do better if we're saying we are followers of Jesus, and we can then demonstrate it. And I think it has a demonstrative activity in our daily walk, Monday through Saturday, when we live a demonstrative, depending on who you are, that means different things. Please, those of you who are introverted are kind of like going, what's he going to make us do? I'm not going to make you do anything. But we have this opportunity to express our love to God. And that's what we say in our mission statement. We say, love God, love all people, and follow Christ together. And one of the ways we love God, and we know that even in the synagogue, they express their love to God in worship collectively. And we know that that expression has changed over the years. But this is what we know about worship. Worship is simply showing what we value. And so the question really has to come out of us is, really, what would people, if they were not only to follow us in this 20 minutes, but throughout the rest of our days and our ways, what would they say that we value the most? What do we post about the most? What do we talk about the most? What do we write about? What do we write checks to? What do we calendar to the most? Really is the question of our hearts, but it comes back to this very place. And for example, have you ever gone to a sporting event and you love a team, right? And what do you do? I mean, well, I'll do it, and it's okay. We celebrate, and we don't often put this word in there, but we actually worship the team. in some way, shape, or form. And we do that. Whatever you love, you tend to devote a bunch of energy and time to. It could be a lot of different things. If you won the lottery, you'd probably express some worship about winning the lottery. There'd be some celebration, some devotion of time and attention to that lottery, and then other people would see it and then want to do the very same thing. See what I'm saying? When we express ourselves in worship, excitement over something, then we express ourselves in a direction that people are going to follow. And that means in the 20 minutes we're here has an impact on the six other days and the other six other places in other places. So check out these pictures. I thought these are kind of cool pictures. I'm not sure what this team is over here, but I understand they're soccer, the blue ones, the guy who's got his mouth wide. I mean, they all have their, many of them have their mouths wide open. I picked the Bronco one. Oh, Tammy's not up here. But I picked the Bronco guy because our administrative assistant is just a diehard Broncos fan, but I'm not sure to that level. Parrot heads, anybody know, you know, a little bit about Jimmy Buffett? Yeah, a little bit. Man, that's everywhere. And I do not know, I think this is football, but I think they're supposed to be Falcons or something. I mean, we have got worship down in our culture. You would have to say that, right? I mean, we really know how to do good worship in the world. This is good worship, by the way, if you didn't know what that was. I mean, really is. I mean, they are expressing what they're diehard for, like many of you, maybe, and you're consoling your hearts this morning a little bit. I get it. It just didn't turn out the way you wanted. I mean, we have that. But this is what we need to change. So we have good worship in the world, but we have bad worship in the church. We have bad worship because we don't come in ready. Think about how long it took them to paint themselves. I mean, that's just incredible. I'm not asking you to paint yourself. I really am not. But there's an internal working that has to transpire, that has to take place. In fact, so much so that Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, and this is not a New Testament. He's referring to an Old Testament passage where God's speaking into. It says this, "These people honor me with their lips." He's talking about the people who come to church, come to a building, "with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce." Wow, that's a harsh word. "They say they love me, they say they worship me, but it's all about everything except for me." So to kind of set the tone, to kind of move us a little bit into the positive and to work on some of the concepts and qualities, I think, of a worshiper, a true worshiper, let's read this psalm together. It's Psalm 100. Psalm 100, can we read it together? "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Literally, they would be walking towards Jerusalem, and there are some psalms of ascent. The psalms of ascent are the psalms of walking towards Jerusalem, and they would be saying and singing these psalms to the Lord. So I want to challenge us this morning with three things I believe that are evident in everyone that is a true worshiper of God. And since we want to be true worshipers, and since we want to follow Christ together and love God with our whole being, and like he calls us to, and give God his honor and due, I think these are qualities that we can all work on together. We can all begin to kind of say, how am I doing in this, in these qualities of a true worshiper? So for the next 3 minutes, I want to prepare your heart for greater worship, better worship, more worship. So true worshipers worship with awe. Worship with awe. Hebrews 12, 28, 29 says this, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, our culture has completely diluted that word awe, right? I'll prove it to you. And I'll use fake names, but conversations that could be true to you this week or me this week even. Brian, how were those tacos you had the other day? Oh, they were awesome, right? Hey, Jeb, how is the Michigan State football game? It was awesome. Okay, all right, sorry. Had to get it in, I guess. Hey, have you watched that new Netflix show? Man, that is awesome. I couldn't stop. I binged all 6 episodes. Whatever it may be. Okay, maybe it's not all 6, maybe it's 9. I don't know what it is for you, but this is probably a careful. Honey, how do these jeans make me look? Gentlemen, this is a test. This is one of those tests. Right? And you kind of have to put a pass in it, babe. They just make you look good. Man, they make you look good. Right? I mean, we have diluted the word awesome in so many ways. And so when we talk about worshiping God with awe, what does it even mean? Really? I mean, because we ascribe it to so many things that, you know, it tastes good, right? The tacos taste good. I mean, they're savory or whatever they may be. But what does it really mean? The Greek word for this is phobos. It's where we get the word phobia from, and it literally means reverential fear of the powerful one. Just let that sink in a little bit. I mean, how we approach worship. Reverential fear of the power of the powerful one in his holiness. God is one, and it's awesome, and he's awesome, period, right? There's nothing else in creation that deserves the reverence and attention and affection and our awe like God. I mean, if you've been to the Grand Canyon, and Kathy and I have been there, we've been able to watch the sunset on the canyon, and somebody told us just the incredible colors that start to span through the canyon at sunset. It happens at sunrise, but I wasn't there. And it's just incredible, right? Or maybe you were at the ocean and you, just the power of the crashing waves, right? Or you looked at a delicate flower and you realized you looked at it and you realized, wow, how in the world did that just come to be? And you realized it's not just come to be. It's not only is it by a God who is intimate, we'll get to that, but it's somebody who placed it there for you. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, he breathed into us and gave us life anew, afresh. We're renewed and we have a relationship. I mean, wow. So how are we doing in the aspect of awe? When and compared to a lot of things. I mean, the psalmist says in Psalm 95:6, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And we see and read, if you've read some of Scripture, or even if you've heard the story of Jesus' birth at Christmas time, or even through a song, you can probably imagine this, that the wise men in the East, when they came, they were looking for Jesus, and they got on their knees before him. Peter drops to his knees. The woman who brought perfume to Jesus, and we kind of squirm a little bit, especially if you're in that culture, you squirm a lot. But she got down and did something that none would do. And Jesus himself, a few weeks ago, right, we talked about this, Jesus himself puts himself in a place of submission under those he serves. And we go, oh, that's just what servants do. Does a God do that? Wow. So Scripture says that one day every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Has that happened to you recently? Has that happened to you that you've been overwhelmed by his presence? So when's the last time you've been stunned or shaken by the presence of God in worship? Not only outside, but in worship. I'm going to show you a picture. It's my daughter's wedding. And not only is it very sentimental and close, but for me and for my family to see us in this place, and it wasn't just a ceremony, we had worship, and it was incredible. And one of the beauties that Kathy and I love is being able to look and seeing our children worship with us. And I don't say that to harm any of you that are praying that you have that same hunger. But when I see that, it overwhelms me. It blows me away that the God of the universe should be so gracious. And then to see that she wanted to have it in her wedding, not just do a ceremony. And again, I'm not throwing it, but it's so beautiful, so overwhelming, and just wonderful. So when is the last time you've been in worship where you're overwhelmed by his awe, the incredibleness of his beauty? So true worshipers worship with awe. The second quality of worshipers is true worshipers worship with abandon. We're not so comfortable in this zone doing that, especially the way we're going to talk about it. In 2 Samuel 6, we have this picture of David in total abandon, King David. Let me tell you a little bit of behind the story of this. Jerusalem has been overtaken by the Philistines and has been run, and David, king, is starting to take back the very pieces of land that had been given by God long time before to the nation of Israel. And he begins to overtake them and retake them. And as he retakes them, there's celebrations, but he retakes Jerusalem, which is huge because this is a holy city. They knew that this was where they were to worship, where the center of what God had called them to be in the promised land it was to be. And so they had been a mobile group up at that time. And the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark was this box, if you will, made to specifications. You can read about it. Ornate, beautiful, had these figures on each end of them. And in that box, during that time in history, this is where God said, this is where I preside. This is where you'll find my presence in the Holy of Holies. And so it was in a tent, but here David's taken Jerusalem back, and he wants to bring everything that God had promised and put it where it should be. And he does that. He sacks the Philistines, takes Jerusalem back, and brings the Ark back to Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant. The covenant is a promise between God and his people to him. And King David, in the procession of this, begins to celebrate. He begins to celebrate in such a way that, this is what 2 Samuel 6:14 says, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. You can go and read it there, but he lost many articles of clothing to do this. And he gave the worship all to God, just giving it back to him. And of all people to criticize him, it was his wife, Michael. And she says to him, You've humiliated yourself in front of all of these people. And in front of all these people, you're the king. And you've looked ridiculous in front of them. And David's response to her was this: I was dancing before the Lord. You see, I think this is why David, and if you've heard this phrase, this is one of the reasons, not the only reason, that God has says that David is a man after my own heart, after God's own heart, is this: I was dancing before the Lord, period. Wasn't dancing before them, wasn't dancing before you. I was dancing before the Lord. But he goes on, yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. There's an abandon that comes with people who know what the Lord has done in their midst and through them, that they're willing to just throw up all arms and just give it to the Lord. Whatever he calls. Remember being in a conference setting, and maybe some of you all know the name Jack Hayford. Jack Hayford tells the story. He was in the privacy of his own office, and he's a pastor, by the way. He's a pastor. And he was praying, and the Lord said, Jack, I want you to dance like a baby. I mean, he felt like the Lord was impressing on him, this is what I want you to do. And he's like, Lord, come on, that's silly. No, Jack, I want you to dance like a baby before me. And the Lord just kept pressing on. The weight just overtook him. And as he talked to all of us in this auditorium, he said, I couldn't let it go. And so I got up and began to dance and just some silliness. The Lord, he said, just came upon me and I began to weep because I gave him what he asked for. I gave him everything that he called me to do. David was in this same place. Because of who God is, and because of what he's done, we can't help to give him praise. It's oftentimes we come in, and I'm here too, I'm like, oh, I don't know. And if you're not a hand raiser, I'm not making you raise your hand. I'm asking you, and you'll hear me at the later in the message, to ask you, what is the Lord just asking you? But there are some days that the songs, words are right, they're point on, but I'm like, yeah, I don't know, not today. But this is a place, in case you're wondering, for those of us who are looking on and kind of going, what's he doing? Why is he doing that? It can be a place of surrender. It can be a place of like, Lord, you take me. It can be a place of victory. Hey, yeah, thank you. It can be a place, but it's a place where we pull out of ourselves to what the Lord is doing and what he wants to do in us. And he calls us out of that. But because of who God is, we don't do it on our own devices. We don't do it our own way. We do it the way the Lord is calling us individually to do it. And so sometimes I've been in services, and so have you, many of you, where people just get down on their hands and knees and they just bow before the Lord, just like what we've been talking about. They take a posture in the pew that just is before the Lord, however that means. I know a few of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe not all of you, but a few of you do. If you've experienced God's grace, if you've experienced what it means to be forgiven and to forgive, you're new. You're in that place where you can just give it to him and just know that, well, whoever's standing around you, he'll give them a message. He'll tell them, okay, you know, it's a little awkward, maybe it's a little weird, but he'll tell them. But because of what he's done for us, we worship with abandon. Sometimes we shout, sometimes we clap, sometimes we're just silent too. Sometimes we, while everybody else is doing something, we find he's calling us to a place of quiet, a place of prayer. I believe that. So how do true worshipers worship? We worship with awe, we worship with abandon, and we worship with intimacy. David said this in Psalm 27:4, "Oh, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." He's saying, if there's one thing that I could have, if there's one thing that could be mine, it's not power, it's not things, it's not money. It's the intimacy with God. It's dwelling in his house. It's seeing his glory. It is worshiping him. It's that intimacy of knowing him and worshiping him like he desires to be worshiping. It desires to be worshiped. So, what do we mean by intimacy? Well, one, that we know him well and he knows us well. It's kind of like if you ask me about my wife, I could go on a few details that I love about her. I love the way that she seeks God in her life with every part of her being. I love it when she learns something new about teaching her class or her kids. She is giddy about new explanation and seeing things open up for them. I love how she fiercely fights for her family's best, each one of them in prayer and by pursuing them. I love how she fights for the underdog, not just in our family, but outside in unknown, unaware ways by many people. I love how she is my greatest cheerleader, always believing in me. I love how her mind thinks after she's had a cup of coffee. Kidding. It's quick, it's smart, it's always multitasking. I love that she's curious about people and pursues them, all people, everywhere. I love that she loves what she does vocationally, but not to get a paycheck, in a missionary posture. I love it when it's late at night and the silly, simple things are goofy to her. She is laughing uncontrollably and about some of the goofiest things. And if some of you have been around while she's been playing cards or it's been past 10:30 at night, you know what I'm talking about. I love it when we're somewhere and she either sees a flower or a tree or something created by somebody else even, and she's able to kind of just pause. I'm not one of these people. She's able to pause and kind of go, wow, did you see that? Do you see how that's made? I love her hunger to learn. She loves to sit in her chair in the morning with her coffee and her throw in her lap and quietly pursue God. Something you may not know, she is extremely, extremely competitive. You wouldn't know it, but it's just an undercurrent that rides through her. Notice I didn't have to do research to tell you about what I love about Kathy. I didn't have to go to a class. I didn't have to Google it. I may have to Google what to do with her, you know, and dates and stuff, but I don't have to stalk her social media. I'm with her. I see her. Because I know about her, I just don't know about her. You see the difference? We can know about God. But he wants us to know him intimately. This is what God wants. He wants us to grow in our love for him, in our worship of him, in our intimacy with him, not just facts about him. You see, the Bible is filled with connectors to God. Community, when we hang with community, is filled with connectors to God. But the intimacy happens when what this says, what community says, what you know about God meets you personally, intimately, and individually. It's born out of time spent, energy given, devotion of attention and affection. The incredible thing is he already knows us in this way. He wants us to get to know him in that way. That's what I want. When we think about worship for YFM, that when we come to these 20 minutes of worship or however long we create in this space, that it's built on this idea of awe, this idea that we have personally, individually, and then corporately, we give him abandon. And we then have this intimacy with him that when we come together, we celebrate what he's been speaking and saying and doing through us. So for the past summer, we have been reading the 90 days through the gospel. We've been doing that intentionally to grow our intimacy with God individually, but grow our intimacy with God individually to grow our awe of what he has done through Jesus and the gospels, and we get to reread it again and re-explore it again and to come away with the abandon of a Peter who's like, hey, is that you, Jesus? On the water? And he says, yeah, come. That kind of abandon. Because we know what he's calling us to. We know who he's calling us out to. A people who have been with God through the week, when we experience it collectively in a gathering, we are even more transformed by the collective presence and power of that individual awe, abandon, and intimacy. So how do we worship? There's three qualities that I think are part of being a true worshiper: with awe, abandon, and intimacy. In Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2, it says, accept my prayer as an incense offered to you, my hand, upraised hands as an Ephraim offering. So look, take this. It's a place of my offering. It's surrender today. It's celebration today. It's victory today, whatever it may be. He's saying, come to him. So as we close this time, let me ask a question that I think the Spirit's prompting already in you. What number would you give your worship this morning from 1 to 10? 10 being the greatest, the best, the intimate awe and abandon, and 1 being the lowest. What is the Spirit prompting in you? What number would you give it? And in whatever number that has come to mind, the Spirit has given that to you. I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. But I also believe this, is that the Spirit is not one to leave us. He's one to come alongside us, as he promised. And he may have already prompted this in you. How, in what way can you take that number that you're at and move it one more notch, just one more next step? Wow. What is the way that the Spirit is telling you can do that? Whether it be in awe, abandon, or intimacy. In what ways can you up your love of God and worship of God? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you loved us with everything that you had. With your own Son, who gave his life so that we could have life. Father, would you implore us? Would you compel us? Would you help us to take the next step in our worship and love of you so we can love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength? Whatever you have ushered to my friends, help them to take that next step with you. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never surrendered your life to Christ, but you've been in awe of how these very things in your life have come together. You're in a place where you have not said yes to Jesus and started following Jesus, but you realize today is one of those places in which you know that without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and God has been loving you all along. There's a prayer on the screen that may just be for you, so that you can worship with your life. Worship God with your life in awe and abandon and intimacy. If this is your prayer, pray it to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace found in and through Jesus. Save me and forgive me for my sins. I give you my life and choose to follow, love, and live for you in Jesus' name. Father, we're thankful this morning that we can, some of us, give our lives for the very first time this morning to Jesus because of what he has done for you and the love that you have demonstrated to us. And we want to give it back to you, our lives, in awe and abandon and intimacy. Father, I thank you that some of us came in this morning and we were pinged by the Spirit. We were reminded by the Spirit that we just don't worship. We worship, but not the way that you're calling us to worship. Not with the dedication. So Lord, help us to take that next step with you. In Jesus' name.